Hello, hello, and welcome back to Organic Gardening for Beginners. My name is Jessica, the host of your show, The Show, and longtime gardener. Love helping you guys get out in the garden and sharing what I've learned over the years, mistakes made, lessons learned, and successes that I love to enjoy. So today we are chit-chatting about time-saving tips for getting your garden in. And by this, I don't mean like time management of, you know, set aside this many minutes per week to do this chore or that chore. What I'm talking about today is, you know, you want to plant something, you know, you have a crazy busy schedule. How do you get from point A to point B with a minimum of fuss? Because I don't know about you, but life is very busy right now. And it's spring, everything needs to get planted, everything needs to get potted up. I'm a vendor at the farmer's market, and my seedlings for the market, you know, need to get organized and labeled, and just there's a million things to do on the to-do list. And some of these tips I'm putting into use, and I will share which ones I'm making myself take advantage of because I need to save time as much as anybody. However, ironically, I do have two things to say before I jump into the meat of this episode. And one is, I learned something recently listening to another podcast, and this was a podcast about podcasting, how meta, and they were talking about how Apple Podcasts only shows reviews and ratings for your region, which for me is the United States. So unbeknownst to me, I haven't been seeing any of the reviews or ratings coming in from the UK, from Australia, from Canada, or anywhere else. I have a friend in Romania who left me a review. And I didn't know that. And so I went to this website called Chartable, where it shows all reviews that you get. And there were a bunch I had never seen. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all my listeners outside of the US who had taken the time to leave me a review. I just didn't know until the other day. And I read them. I loved reading them. It was awesome. A common thread of many of them was that I tell it like it is. I'm not holier than thou or gardening dogma or snobby about how I garden. And I love that that comes across in my episodes because I want to be practical and helpful and just regular. I'm just a regular gardener. I've been doing it for a long time, but I still make mistakes and I love sharing it with you guys. So I'm happy that that seems to come across well. And it's always rewarding to read 5-star reviews of how the show has helped people get going for this season. So thank you very much for those of you outside of the US. Sorry, I never acknowledged you before. I just didn't know that you had done that. So thanks. And then the second thing has little to do with gardening at the moment anyways, but we just brought home our first sheep yesterday. They have been here for one night. And I've mentioned sheep on the show a couple of times because I want to experiment with using their wool in the garden. I have some wool that I'm putting in some containers right now. And manure in the compost, we're using them to graze. You know, they have a pasture that they can graze, so we never have to mow it, which is awesome. And I'm so excited. And of course, it has added one more thing to the busy to-do list, but I'm okay with that because I think the trade-off is going to be awesome. So point of all that is partially to share with you guys because I'm so excited to have these sheep, and also because I hope to have some good evidence, some good experience to share with you guys of, is it worth going to source sheep manure to use in your garden as opposed to, you know, buying the bagged cow manure or chicken manure, or maybe you know somebody with chickens and you get the bedding. Is it worth trying to find a sheep farm or homesteader who has sheep that doesn't use all of their byproducts, such as manure and wool, to use in your own garden? So I'm super stoked. We have one ewe, so the female sheep, and her two lambs that are just a few days old. And we'll be getting one more ewe and an unrelated ram to be baby daddy later on down the road when everybody's grown up. And so we'll have a flock of 5 sheep. So I am officially a shepherdess and I'm very excited. Okay, now let's get back to our time-saving tips. And I have 7 here in no particular order, a little bit chronological, but my first one is, at this point in the season, it's April 22nd as I'm recording this, the day before I release it, tomorrow on the 23rd, for your long maturing crops, tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, even something like chives or thyme. I would highly recommend at this point that you just buy a seedling rather than starting from seed. If you are in a zone where you know you're going to have a fall frost, if you're, you know, in the south or a higher zone like zone 10, you could probably get away with it. Your plants will be cooking during the heat of summer at this point too, which could throw a wrench in things. Tomatoes, for example, if it stays above 90 degrees at night for too many days in a row, then your tomatoes will not put out flowers. They'll wait till the weather cools off a little bit. And so oftentimes in those higher zones, such as when I lived in South Carolina or even Southern California to an extent, I would plant out early. So I would put my tomatoes out end of February, beginning of March, so that they could get their first flush of fruit going before the really hot days of summer. And they would always start producing again after it cooled off. But just be aware of that. If you are putting in a seedling right now and you're in a warmer zone, you will probably see a little bit of a decrease in production of certain crops as the weather gets hot. So that was a total side note. But back to my main point, if you are, for example, like me in Oregon, or you're in Washington or Idaho or any of the more northern regions of the US or colder areas in the world, then buy a seedling so that you can skip that first 6 to 10 weeks, depending on the plant, of indoor growth that would have normally happened by now if you had started them, you know, say in early March, late February, depending. Because if you start them from seed now, they'll totally grow. You know, don't let me discourage you from that. But if your goal is to save time and get in a garden that's going to produce for you, then starting with a seedling now is going to avoid all that waiting time that would happen otherwise. So a lot of the fast growing stuff like beans or radish or lettuce, those ones are all still totally fine to start from seed indoors or direct sow out into the garden. This is really just for those longer maturing crops, like I mentioned, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, basically the stuff that needs a long hot summer in order to mature. All right, second one is when you go get those seedlings, make a list, go get them, and avoid window shopping. I know this is like saying go into a candy store and don't buy any candy. I'm with you. But it will be very easy to go and meander and gee-gawk, and you end up with two flats worth of plants that you don't know where you're going to put them, or you don't have the bed ready yet, or you're running out of space. And that's not a bad thing. I do that all the time. But, you know, with our focus today being how do I get my garden in with a quickness, if you only have the plants that you know you have room for, that's going to make it easier to go get your plants, bring them home, put them in, and not spend a bunch of time thinking, well, I could put this here and I could put that there. And if I put this there, then there's no room for this. And oh my gosh, I need a new bed. And again, these are not bad things. They're just not particularly time-saving if you're trying to be expedient about getting your plants in the ground. This may have even been a good episode for later in the summer when, you know, the window of there's still time is a little bit tighter. But here you go. You get it in advance because I'm doing the same thing, moving plants around from point A to point B and never actually planting anything because I have too much stuff already. And so I can totally relate to any of you listening to this who are feeling the same way of I need focus, I need to get this garden going. All right, number three, if you are using mulch, which I really hope you are, I find it to be way faster to, if I'm starting with an empty bed, that is, to cover the whole bed in mulch and then go back and plant by just pushing the mulch aside, digging a little hole with my hand, stick the seedling in, push the mulch, well, first the soil, and then the mulch back over to cover up the plant. For me, that's way faster than planting out the bed and then coming back and spreading the mulch out around the seedlings. This may be an individual thing where you prefer it the other way. If that's the case, go for it. But for me, it's a lot faster to spread the mulch first and then plant. So if you haven't tried it that way, give it a shot, see if you prefer it. And if you are not using mulch, I would hope that you do because it really helps, especially for new seedlings. It helps transition your seedling into your bed because the mulch is going to hold in moisture. It's going to help regulate the temperatures a little bit more because we're still having cold nights here in Oregon. It got down to 37 degrees last night. It was frosty this morning. And that mulch can help level that out a little bit instead of those big swings from a 70 degree day to a 37 degree night. It's not a miracle worker. If you get a hard freeze, it won't matter if you have mulch on there or not, but it can help on the non-freezing nights. Number four is similar to the mulch. Put up your trellis or your tomato cage or your stakes, whatever you're using to support your plants. Do it at planting instead of coming back later when you then have to futz around with your plants. Make sure that the tendrils are not all tangled in on themselves, or, you know, stand up plants that have flopped over. And I'm totally guilty of not doing this, especially with peas, because I sow the seeds and I think, they've got a week before they come up. I've got plenty of time to come back and put up my trellis. And next thing you know, I'm putting up a trellis on a 6-inch tall pea plant whose tendrils are all tangled and they're all flopping over. And it takes more time to untangle them and get them to grab onto the trellis, and on and on and on. You can see where I'm going. So don't be like me. Have the discipline to put up your trellis when you sow your seeds or when you put your transplant out, so that you don't have to mess with it later. And if you're putting out tomatoes soon, just pop your tomato cage over the top of it. That's also going to prevent you from damaging roots if you put the cage in later and you're pushing the little tines of the cage down into the soil. If you're putting your cucumbers up a trellis, put that trellis up first and then plant, and it's just going to save you time down the road, I promise, because I've been there. Number five is at the nursery or big box store, you will often find 6-packs or a 4-inch pot of root crops or vining plants. So things like beets or peas or green beans. And I would highly recommend that instead of doing that, you just direct sow them. And the reason I say this is because if you take, you know, say you get a 4-inch pot of beets and you put that whole thing in the ground, you will have a very, very poor harvest because there are 20, 30 beet plants usually in that little 4-inch pot. And none of those are going to have any room in order to, have any room to mature unless you single them all out and plant them out at their appropriate spacing of, you know, maybe a few inches apart. Same goes for the beans. If you've got multiple plants in one 4-inch pot, they will grow. It's a little bit different than the beets, but they'll still be climbing all over each other, and you'll get higher yields and healthier plants if you were to separate them out. But the thing is, the time that you spend separating each beet away from each other and then planting each one is, in my opinion, a waste of time. And I would much rather just direct sow in the bed, even though I don't get that instant gratification of, hey, look, I've got beets. They're already growing, and you have to wait for them to germinate. I find that it saves me time on the other end when they just come up exactly where I planted them, and I don't have to do any thinning or untangling and hoping that I don't break roots of, you know, my peas or beans. And I find it to be just a simpler, cleaner process. And that's one of the ways that I save time in the spring. If I'm, you know, running late, or like last summer when I moved, I still direct sowed my beets and beans instead of picking up a 6-pack or a pot that I would then have to individually separate and plant. So if you're used to planting from, you know, I keep saying beets because it's the one I see all the time. I see this with chard often as well, where there are like 5 chard seeds in one cell of the 6-pack, and you really need to separate those out in order for them to do their best. There is an exception here. This isn't really a time saver, but worth noting. If you're buying herbs in particular, something like basil or cilantro or thyme or oregano even, you'll probably see multiple stems in the pot, and those ones I leave together. Especially for a smaller plant like thyme, I don't ever plant one stem of thyme because it's a very slow growing plant. And so that clump can really help you get the bulk that you need in order to harvest off of the plant in any sort of quicker timeline. And with the cilantro, I find that they grow just fine in a clump. That's how I plant them as well, and how I sell them at the market. I put 4 to 6 seeds in one cell rather than one individual seed. So just choose how you want to save time, whether it's the instant planting of beets right now that you separated, or you wait a little bit for germination, but they are spaced the way they need to be. Totally up to you. Number six, and this is one that I am experiencing right at this moment because I have so many plants that I want to get out and I don't have enough garden space. And I should say what the tip is. The tip is use containers if that's easier than waiting for the right time or location or materials to start a new garden bed. And I want more garden space. I have the property for more garden space, but I don't have time or materials to build that out right now. And so I am growing in some containers, some pots that I have sitting around that they're like big ceramic pots that are totally adequate to plant in. And I'm putting some of my flowers, some of my veggies in there just because they need to get into their permanent spot. And I know that if I wait until I can get a new raised bed going or an in-ground bed, that it's going to be at least a couple of more weeks before I can do that. And at that point, it'll be not too late, but that seedling will be past its peak of, man, it's healthy, it's lush, it's got good root development, it would do really well in the garden, and I don't want to get past that point. You know, I'm pretty sure we've all seen those seedlings that are starting to look a little bit yellow, a little bit overgrown, maybe a little bit root bound, and you can still plant them and they'll be totally fine. Don't think you can't plant those, but you can reap the benefit of healthier plants and healthier growth if you get that thing in the ground at that peak time. So if you have containers, whether that's an old wheelbarrow basin, you know, maybe the handles fell off or the tire's flat, or you've got some ceramic pots or even large plastic pots, you can use grow bags. Those are really easy to set up. It's basically a fabric or felt pot that you throw potting soil in and then you plant in it. You use it like a container. You can upcycle a ton of things, old buckets, metal ones, plastic ones, doesn't matter. Use those to get your plants going so that you can start harvesting from them rather than spending that time of, I'm waiting to get this new garden bed going, next weekend. And the next thing you know, a month has gone by and you haven't planted. And I totally speak from experience here. Just put it in the container. And container gardening is awesome. You can put it wherever you need to. Keep it close to a water source. Keep it in the sun if it's not where the rest of your garden is. Very modular to use containers. But I think, at least for me, that it's easy to wait until that right time to build out the garden rather than just using the containers I have available. It'll save you time. Get your stuff in the ground. And then lastly, another one that does apply to me is if you are feeling super strapped for time and you either have seedlings that you want to get in the ground or you know that like next weekend is your designated I'm putting in the garden weekend, you might consider skipping drip irrigation and just know that you're going to use a sprinkler or hand water. And hand watering is going to take a lot of time too, and that's why I say a sprinkler. Drip irrigation is awesome and I love it, but it can be a real slow process to get it set up the way you want it to be. You know, from getting all your parts, like your components at the spigot where you need the pressure reducer, regulator, I forget what it's called. You need a filter, you need a this, you need a timer, and it just takes a minute to get all those pieces together. It's easy, but it can take a moment, especially if it's totally new to you and you need to make sure you've got all the right components. And then when I set it up, I run it from the hose out to my garden, up the side of the garden bed, across it, then down to the ground and over to the next bed and then up. And I'm dealing with like 50 different elbows and right angles because I don't want to trip all over it and I don't want it, you know, hanging out between the beds in the air where someone's going to run into it, probably me, maybe the dogs, maybe a kid. And so it looks nice, but holy moly, it takes forever to get it done. And not to mention putting in all the emitters and any other little line that you need to run. And I don't have time for that right now. And so I'm going sprinkler. I'm going full sprinkler this season, even in our hoop house. And I'm just using an overhead sprinkler. And I know it goes against the advice that many people and probably even me have said as far as don't overhead water your tomatoes or other flowers like zinnias that might be more vulnerable to powdery mildew. But for this year, it is what it is. I'll hand water when I can, but I will be making big use of an overhead sprinkler this season. And honestly, I am trying to use enough mulch and organic matter in the soil that I don't have to water too much anyways. That's part of the direction I'm trying to take my garden, is away from dependency on drip irrigation, which I love, don't get me wrong, but more towards less handholding of the garden, because the climate is changing every year. Sometimes spring is earlier, sometimes it's later, sometimes there's drought, sometimes there's a late snow, and I want to get the garden just a little bit more, yeah, resilient. That's a good word for it. So that's what I'm trying. Those are my tips, guys. These are all tips that should make it easier to take away some of the back and forth, or the waiting for the right moment, or spending time on tasks that can be good, such as the drip irrigation, and just going for, what is it, Occam's razor of what's the shortest distance from here to there. Here being, I've got this flat of plants I need to get out. There being, I've got a garden that is planted out that I know is going to produce for me. I can start harvesting my salad in a month. I'm going to have some beautiful flowers that the bees can visit in 2 months. And there we go, rather than 3 weeks going by and you're waiting, waiting, waiting for that right moment, or to find time to do these more time consuming things. That's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I love doing the show, and I get at least an email a week, sometimes up to three, of people telling me that they are inspired to get going this season, that they've been binging the show as they get ready for their garden, and I love it. So if you are listening and haven't started your garden yet, send me an email. Let me know what's up. Let me know if I can help. And if you are in those beginning stages, then enjoy it. It's so much fun to be out there. I've been out nonstop in these nicer days, and now I get to go hang out with my sheep while I should be potting up my seedlings. All right, talk to you guys next week. Bye.